Welcome back to the Mojo Podcast, a place for curious minds to fill up on leadership inspiration and hear wonderful stories of mojo, lost and found, high and low. I'm your host, Richard Stokes, and we meet here every fortnight to spend time with a diverse and brilliant group of guests who've been generous to spend time with me. This new series, The Sixth, is all about commitment, a concept we all understand that can prove elusive and even fearful for us. So in this series, I wanted to get under the skin of commitment, how we can commit to ourselves, to our values, our purpose, and the payoff that we see when we literally choose not to have any more choice. Commitment is one of life's beautiful paradoxes. This week, we're back in the world of sport, talking to a very talented and driven young man, a true multi-hyphenate, athlete, business owner, and cause-driven leader, and someone who totally understands what commitment means, as he shows when he was offered what appeared to be a dream job in football.
Working with one of the biggest football clubs in the world, you know, the opportunities that kind of they could have brought to my life. And, you know, I'm sure if I would have taken that role to work with a brand like that, I'm sure I would have been able to do something like unbelievably special. But there was this idea that I'd been working on, and I knew that if I don't do this now, I'll never do it.
Azim Amir is 25 and has been visually impaired since birth. However, he has never let it be a barrier to success. Indeed, it's been much more of a springboard. Azim plays blind football professionally for England and Great Britain and is working towards achieving international success. Azim is also an ambassador for several disability awareness charities and organisations, and through his public speaking, including a TEDx talk, coaching and workshops, aims to inspire as many young people as possible to achieve their own version of success. He has also created his own business called Learn with ESS, and that's the reason why he turned down that dream job, and he'll talk about the impact he's had so far and plans for the future. This is a sensational episode, I have to say, all about passion, belief, purpose, and Azim's overwhelming commitment to level whichever playing field he finds himself on. I hope you get so much from this. Please do remember to take 30 seconds to rate and review on Apple Podcasts. And please do share it with your network so we get Azim's work out to many, many more people. Okay, let's go over to my Mojo conversation with Azim Amir. So welcome back to the Mojo Podcast. And we're crossing over to Rochdale in the UK. And I'm really excited to introduce my guest today, Azim Amir. Azim, how are you doing?
Hi, mate. Yeah, all good. How are you?
Very well. Really, really excited and really happy to be chatting to you today. You did mention to me you've got a bit of a cold at the moment. So how are you going with that?
Yeah, all good. Just smashing back the Lemsips and green teas. But we'll be fine. We'll be fine.
Amazing. You sound good. You sound good. So with that in mind, Azim, I always start here. How is your mojo today out of 10?
So usually, like, you're going to probably think, so my average is really high. So even for me, a 7, which is a 7 today, I'd say, which means that kind of, yeah, just slightly off the usual, but I'm usually quite up and ready to go, quite positive. So it's usually even higher than that. So if it's 7 on a bad day, you know, you can just imagine what a good day is.
Well, that's it. I did get that sense from you and your energy and everything that you bring to what you do. And we're going to get really into that today. All these plates that you're spinning, all the things that are going on in your life. So you just started to slightly talk about it there, preempting my next question. So when I say mojo, Azim, what comes to mind for you? What does it mean to you?
Probably kind of gusto, get up and go, like that kind of element of, you know, what gets you out of bed in the morning. That's probably the first thing that comes into my mind when I hear that phrase. And also, I think I mentioned it when we caught up last time. It's probably the first time I probably heard that term was Cheryl Cole on a TV advert.
you did mention this, and incredibly I had never seen this TV advert of Cheryl Cole. I think it's a L'Oreal ad. You know, because you're worth it, because I'm worth it, and all that. And then, and she talks about to get your mojo back. So if you haven't seen that, do have a quick search to see the lovely Cheryl Cole in her Geordie accent saying the word mojo, which was a joy. So thanks for bringing that to my life, Azim.
No, I was going to say it's definitely one you haven't heard before. I remember we spoke about.
Oh, well, this is it. I love it. I love hearing new definitions. I love hearing usage of the term, the word, in lots and lots of different contexts. So, thank you for that. And right at the beginning here, Azim, so what would be useful for people listening to know about you at the beginning of this podcast before we kind of get into our conversation?
So probably like a quick summary would be, Azim from Rochdale, just outside of Manchester, 25, was born with a visual impairment. So basically it means I struggle to see, find like unique ways to navigate kind of day-to-day challenges in my life that are things that probably a lot of people would take for granted. I'm very lucky to represent the England blind football team all around the world. So that's kind of what the main thing that I do is play blind football. I run my own business and charity, and the aim is to change the way society offers others a helping hand. And that's me just, winging my way through life. If I could redo my LinkedIn, I'd probably put on there the CEO of Winging Life, because that's what I do. The CEO of Winging Life and a master's degree in finding solutions.
Brilliant. I love it. And well, you actually do have a master's degree though, don't you?
I
I
do
was
have a
reading
master's degree.
it
I
amongst
do.
all the other things that you've accomplished and you're doing, as I said, spinning plates, you say winging life. Is it, can I just dig in on that a little bit, Azim? Are you being falsely modest here? Are you winging it, or is there a plan?
Good question. I think I always like have this plan. Everybody's got a plan until the plan gets ripped up and thrown out the window. Like that, we all have an idea, we all have a guide, but I think the biggest thing is to like when you throw yourself into spontaneity, when you throw yourself into embracing like every single day. I always like talk about how a lot of people, for them, the minute they hear a buzz and an email or an Outlook notification, they're like, oh, not another email for me. Like I get a buzz off that because I know I have no idea what the next opportunity that is going to land in my inbox. And I love that because it could be that it probably will be something so random that again makes me have to be agile and adapt the way we move forward, because there's things that happen. Like I said, you have a plan and then a kind of a swerve or a curve gets thrown in and you don't even expect it, and it just changes the direction in which you're heading. So I actually love and embrace that.
Amazing. Well, you know, I love to hear that perspective that you've got on, as you say, you know, when a lot of us might be sitting there going, oh no, what does someone want of me now? And there are you, I'm hearing you inviting it. You're saying, yeah, come on, life, come on, universe, throw something at me. Because I embrace the new, I love the challenge. And I would imagine because that's your setting, that's your energy, more comes your way. You know, I do believe there's a resonance around us. That's probably why we're speaking today, that you were open.
Absolutely.
And yeah, I'll chat to this guy about my mojo on this podcast and this kind of theme that I'm bringing to this series, around commitment. And with all the things you're doing, I'm also seeing a lot of commitment to your sport, to causes, to business, to self-improvement, all of that. So we're going to make sure we cover plenty of that today. I wanted to sort of just start by, I guess, stepping back a little bit. What was it like growing up with a visual impairment? I mean, was this from birth?
So I was born with my condition. So it's called ocular-auricular syndrome. Basically impacts the development of the eye. So kind of means I've got no sight in my right eye and light perception in my left. So I can pick up on kind of light shapes and shadows from about an arm's length. But apart from that, really struggle with detail, and really struggle with kind of new environments, like day-to-day things that people just take for granted, like getting around, reading, navigating things, using technology. I just gotta find a different way to be able to do that. So That's just something that I kind of, like I said, I was presented with my challenge. I had no control of that. I can't change that. And also the flip side of that is like there's no miracle cure. There's not a switch that we can flick and I'll get my sight back tomorrow. You know, I kind of, you know, it's definitely kind of, it is one of them. It is what it is. And I've just kind of got to make the most of the cards that I've been dealt with. And I feel like I've definitely done that. And I've got some great people around me who then help me to put things into perspective. And like I said, we all go through good days, bad days, and sometimes it's one of them where it's like, you know, it's a bit more challenging than others, but you just got to kind of, you've got to find ways to get on with it. And, you know, someone, I read something the other day around like everybody can have a bad day, but it's one of them is like you can make the most of that, or you can, you're in control of how bad that bad day actually is.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, just where you got to there, that sense of choice, I guess, in terms of how's this day going to play out? And I can actually choose how bad or how much better this day gets. But I also get in, you know, let's just check in here. You're 25, right?
Yeah, just turned 25, yeah.
I get in this immense sense of maturity from you. And I hope I'm not being patronizing when I say that, but I really do. In terms of that perspective, because I guess we tend to think that perspective comes with time and with age, but it feels like you've developed that at a much younger age. Have you always had that? You mentioned having good people around you. Did that help get that perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. I think like perspective also ties in with like for me the term like contentness, and contentness of knowing that, you know, did you make the most of it? And I think we'll come on to this a little bit later on around commitment, but like contentness around kind of actually, you know, I have done a lot and I have made the most of every day and I have achieved a lot. And that doesn't, you know, there's a difference between, I always talk about that, there's a difference between coasters and settlers. Like, you know, are you striving or are you coasting and or are you settling? Like for me, you know, it's good to kind of, you know, reflect and think, you know what, the perspective, I've done a lot, but it's also so important to have that like hunger and drive to be able to, what's the next thing, what's the next thing. And if anything, I've had to, especially over the last year, I've had to, something that kind of, even for 2024, something that I set myself was to like be more present, because I'll be sat there achieving something really amazing, but then I'll also be thinking about what's the next thing, what's the next thing, rather than like just enjoying that moment. So, you know, like I said, perspective is an interesting kind of concept, but I also think being present is very important as well.
Yeah, isn't that really interesting? The sort of duality of I can tell just how driven and motivated and keen you are to kind of get on, as we talked about, you know, the new things coming your way, but also hearing this, as you say, this sense of actually just enjoying the now and being in this. So this is a relatively new mindset for you, is it?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think, like I said, for a lot of my life, I remember like doing big things or achieving big things, and again, like thinking about the next thing, or thinking about what's the next thing I want to do, or how can I better this, or how can I one up it. I always like give the term like Tenerife, 11erife. You know, I want to get to 11erife, not Tenerife, and it's a little bit of a joke, but that was my mindset. Do you know what I mean? But now I think it is that thing that you've got to be more present, and that's very, very important, because, you know, I remember reading this thing around Manchester United 2008 Champions League final. They've just won it. They get back to the changing room, you know, something that they worked so hard towards, something that, and they're already there. There's the Rio Ferdinand looks across, and there's a bunch of the lads who are chatting about kind of next season and what they want to, what, how they're going to make things better or how they're going to achieve. And he thought to himself, if only I enjoyed that moment a little bit more, and if only I embraced it, if only I was present. And for me, that sticks in my mind a lot. Like, you've just won the Champions League and you're talking about next season, you know, you're not even enjoying that moment. And imagine when you look back and you think, if only I enjoyed that a little bit more.
Yeah, you know what? I do hear that, especially from I think people in sports, athletes, that sense of achieving that goal that they set out could have been, you know, when they were very young or you know, more recently, but you know, the winning the thing, the trophy, the league, and then their mind immediately jumping to the next time, the next thing. and not really allowing, as Rio Ferdinand talked about there, that just, can we just not enjoy this right now? I think about in the world of rugby, Johnny Wilkinson, when he famously kicked the drop goal in 2003, I think it was, for England to win the World Cup. You know, he said he had very little enjoyment of that. After the sensation of that moment, it passed very quickly and he started getting stressed and anxious about the next thing. So yeah, I see that a lot in sport. So do you have that yourself? And I appreciate this is a new mindset you're developing, but that sense of I've achieved something, but I'm immediately on to the next.
Probably a lot came from like probably over the last year and like the sports side of things, and with football being such a big part of my life, and you know, kind of blind football and the being kind of where up in terms of like where I'm at in terms of the position that I play with international and with England, probably like in the run up to last year, August 2023, we had a championship which was going to determine whether we qualify for the Paralympics in Paris in 2024, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. We'd spent such a lot, you know, years in preparation for that, and my goalkeeper, a guy called Dylan Malpass, like throughout that journey, he spoke about kind of this term that he introduced to me, and it was process over outcome. And I'd never really thought about it in that way. You know, you always think of the outcome, you always think it's going to be two paths, yes or no, or qualify or not qualify, or success, failure. But you look back and he said, like, if you've got a kind of, he said, it's the process over the outcome, it's about everything you do. Because imagine if that's all you thought about was the outcome and that was all that mattered. But then you look back at then that years, 2 years, 3 years of your life, especially with the cycles that we work on, with Paralympics being every 4 years, like imagine if you look back and think all them years were just defined by a success or failure, or qualification or not qualification, or a yes or a no. And you know, you can't do that. It's got to be how the process has to be so much more than the outcome. And it helped me that, because you know, you can prepare as much as you want when nothing's promised, but sometimes you need a bit of luck, sometimes you need a bit of kind of, like I said, something to go your way. And you know, most times in life, you know, that it doesn't happen. You know, you've got to be kind of, you know, it's sometimes it's chance, sometimes it's luck, sometimes it's just being the right place at the right time and something going for you. And sometimes it doesn't go that way. And you know, I've in terms of my own playing and my own football, being part of the squad for a couple of years now, I've seen it not go our way a couple of times now. And again, but when you look at back, you look at it, but and if you look at it and you flip that mindset around, embracing the process, and yeah, it actually feels, you know what, even though we didn't get to where we needed to or where we wanted to get to, the process to it was pretty special.
Oh, I love that. And great advice from the goalkeeper there. And what sort of came to me when you were saying that was like, it's enjoy the journey, not just get to the destination, because that just allows you, I guess, that a bit of flexibility to understand that, as you said, things don't always work out in a binary yes no way, and especially if they don't go the way that you really really want. And I guess what you're talking about here, we just mentioned it before we started recording, but the journey to Paralympics in Paris 24 didn't quite work out the way you wanted.
No, I didn't. No, it definitely, like I said, we prepared the best that we could, and it just kind of, like I said, the group that we got, how it ended up turning out. And you know, again, but I've been there, you know, I've been very lucky. I made my debut in 2018, and then properly started probably 2019, so you know what, 3-4 years now I've been a part of it, and been to a couple of European championships, won world championships, plenty of like world grand prix, and like I said, like, you know, we have been unlucky. I've seen us, you know, not losing out in kind of open play in, you know, so many games, and then, you know, we get back to back to back. You know, I've seen us lose like 3-4 penalty shootouts in a semi-final of a championship, you know, in a semi-final of a championship with Paralympic Games, 2 Paralympic Games on the line, do you know what I mean? And I've seen that, and it's just, when you kind of, you know, it's almost one of them. It's like, how much more can you actually do? And we go back to the drawing board, and it gets you, you know, after a while you feel sorry for yourself, then you get back up and you get that hunger and you start driving forward, and But then it comes back to that thing, like, you love it, don't you? If you love it and you care about it and you're passionate about it, you like I said, get back on that train and you go again. And we're in that process now of getting back on and going again. And so I hope kind of, like I said, I'm very lucky. Anything, you got to love what you do. You got to be passionate about it, because if you're not, then it's probably not even worth doing it.
So on the passion, the love of it, what was it that drew you to football in the first place? Given, as you said, your upbringing, you had different challenges to lots of other kids, but you were drawn to football. And with that, could you also give listeners a description of how blind football differs to the football they may have seen in the mainstream on TV?
Yeah, so blind football is a five-a-side sport played by five outfield players and one fully sighted goalkeeper. The pitch that we play on is specially adapted, as there's boards going down the length of the pitch, which ensures they come up to about your hip height and they ensure that the ball stays in play. The ball that we use has ball bearings in the panels, which when rattled will make a sound. So we use our ears to locate it instead of our eyes. And most importantly, one of our coaches will stand behind the goal that we're shooting towards, and will use their voice as an audible tannoy to locate where the goal is. We have three-sighted guides, so the goalkeeper is fully sighted, our manager at the halfway is fully sighted, and the coach that stands behind the goal is fully sighted, and we use them 3 points as a way to kind of figure out our orientation on the pitch. And then apart from that, it's solely reliant on us as a team to communicate, to be able to work together, to orientate ourselves, yeah, to be able
Wow.
to succeed. And in terms of that, in terms of the draw and why I play and why is it's probably just the buzz that you get from playing on an even playing field. In my life, I went through mainstream education, being the only person that couldn't see. And then, it's so easy to always use that excuse where it's like, oh, but they're better than you, or they're doing that. They're succeeding, or they've got one up on you because they can see. Whereas, like in blind football, you can't use that excuse because everybody's the same. Do you know what I mean? And that for me is quite a big, that even playing field makes you realize that it's that awareness that actually everybody is the same here, and it comes down to, how much work and effort you put in. And yeah, talent and natural ability comes into it, but then it comes down to like hard work and building on that. And like for me, honestly, I wasn't really blessed with loads and loads of talent. I tell you, like I wasn't naturally gifted. So I've had to really work hard to be able to even get to the position that I am, and now striving forward to even kind of, like I said, think I just don't want to be a coaster. I just don't want to be a settler. That's really important for me. So it's like I said, it's finding that fine balance between, understanding where you're at, but then also, that drive and hunger to be better.
Wow. Well, I mean, I think in just in that answer there, you've given so much. I've got so much in terms of the game itself that you're playing and how that's set up. And I was just getting this real sense of the need for incredible communication between all those partners, teammates, playing together. As you said, the five of you who are visually impaired, and the three who are fully sighted, and what's that like? And I'd love to dig into that in a second. And then this sense of actually in life having, so this level playing field that you talk about, the sense of having opportunity of being the same as everybody else, and fulfilling potential as a result, and how empowering that must be, because living with any level of disability in whatever country that you're in is clearly much harder than not. Or I say clearly, that would be my perspective. But I guess I know you've got a slightly different perspective to that in terms of what you've made of your life and your opportunity. Let's talk to that first, because I remember when we talked on the phone before. I think I asked you about, would you change things?
I think obviously, like if you are born with a kind of set of cards that I think it comes down to like acceptance over time, or like said, 25 years. I've kind of deep down, it's like acceptance. So you know that you're not going to change things. You know, you got that accurate perception of reality. I'm a bit of a realist, and I feel like you know that that's not going to happen. However, obviously, if it was offered to you and you could, a lot of people would say, yeah, they would. But for me, like, I do think it would be a difficult conversation. I think it wouldn't be a direct yes. If someone says to me tomorrow, oh, you can get your sight back, it's a lot of people be like, well, absolutely, why wouldn't you? But then I also think to myself, actually, like, it has shaped and defined me, and the people that I've met through my life, and the experiences that I have, and the perception that I have, and the person that I've become today is a big part of it, is down to, like I said, like my visual impairment. And I don't want to be defined by my visual impairment, but there it does play a big part in my life and into my outlook on life. And I feel like, I almost compare it to, how I literally make things up on the spot as well, but do you know how like people go their whole life and they're living a normal life, and they win the lottery and they become millionaires? Well, I read so many stories about people becoming millionaires and still like, or going broke afterwards, or not being happy. And that's probably like probably like my fear with this situation. Probably, like, if I was to ever get my sight back, you've got everything now. What, a millionaire, they've got everything. Money's not a problem, but they're still not happy, or like I said, they still end up going broke afterwards. Like, I think, yeah, that's a comparison, like I said, I've just made up on the spot, but it probably is quite similar.
It makes complete sense, and I get this sense of, this sort of deeper essence of, who you are and what drives you. Obviously, I appreciate, that you've been visually impaired since you were born, but that has not got in the way. And as you said, it has created in you this phenomenal drive, this desire, to be your best and do your best. As you said, I think you said, I wasn't the most talented player, but you've worked exceptionally hard to get to where you've got to. And I could tell there's that the motivation is all there, the skills are there, and then blind football, I'm getting the sense, has given you the opportunity to be there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It changed my life. It changed my life, and I'm forever grateful for that. But at the same time, I invested so much of my time, energy, and I wouldn't, no way would I change that. No way. But at the same time, I think no matter what you end up doing, like I said, if you put your time into it, if you put effort into it, you will the outcome. You will get an outcome, and whether that be the outcome that you want or that you strive for, that you drive for, like I said, nothing's promised in this world. But as long as you did everything you could, I think that's another thing that I want to be able to do that. As long as I know I did everything, then you're content with the outcome. And I think that's with everything. As long as you did everything you could, then regardless, you can live with what you can live with. You can live with whatever happens, and you can. It's easy, a bit more easier to take. And I think that's something that kind of, I feel, is something that I've instilled as well. As I know that I did everything that I could, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, love that. And on that, in terms of doing everything you could or everything you can, I said at the beginning, about spinning plates, and you said about winging it, and there's a sense of a lot going on for you. And as the subject for the series is about commitment, one of the reasons I really wanted to talk to you is yes, clearly you're highly committed to being an England footballer, and that doesn't define you, because there's lots of other things going on for you, right, Azeem? Should we sort of just talk through some of those other projects and causes that are close to your heart?
So I think because of the where we're at in terms of with blind football in the country, and disability football in general, so we kind of, I'd say, we're semi-professional, so everybody has like a job that they do alongside their football. Some people are massage therapists, some people are teachers, some people kind of, like I said, studying. So everybody has had something that they do alongside that, which plays a and the football kind of comes alongside that. So after I finished my studies, I was thinking about like what it was that I wanted to do alongside. And for me, I just did not want to do a 9 to 5. Like, did not want to just be sat in an office, like waiting for 5 o'clock, waiting for the weekend, hating Monday mornings. Like, I wanted to do something that I actually enjoyed, that I actually cared about. And as I started to do well with my football on the pitch, it gave me a platform off it to kind of say, people were like, can you come in and talk to us about what you do? Come then that developed into that, can we feel what it's like? And it kind of got me thinking about, is there, what is it that says, what, if someone says like an easy way to kind of start a business or is to find a problem and you can you create a solution for it? That's it. Like, that's it. And so I was like, okay, so what's the problem? And for me, I was like, okay, I was thinking about it and I kept thinking, I was like, so the problem for me is within society, the ways in which people with a disability or the ways in which people with a challenge are perceived and how that prejudice comes. And I experience that regularly, I'd even say like on a daily basis. And a lot of people with a disability or a lot of people with an impairment or a lot of people with a challenge will also, I'm sure, will be in that same boat. And it kind of made me think that actually I want to change that. I want to change the way I want to create a societal change. And that kind of tied hand in hand with, okay, can we do that with doing something that you enjoy? Can we do that with doing something that you have an impact? And the idea came about of creating some workshops that would help change the way people think about those with a disability or a challenge, and doing that in a really practical and an interactive way. It started with an idea on a piece of paper, and that was, I said, I'd just finished my master's degree and I had a job lined up, ready to go.
All right.
Turned it down to pursue this, and yeah, and it was the best decision I ever made.
Well, if that's not commitment, then nothing is. When there's something that's, his it's like a sliding doors moment, I guess. Here's opportunity A that's been, I'm sure you worked for and presented to you. And you had this idea. And I love that idea, that classic business position of what's the problem that needs solving here, and why am I uniquely positioned to do that? So how, just before we get into the business and how it operates and how people can experience that, I'd just love to get into that, where you were when you made that decision about, I'm not going to do that job, I'm going to go and create this business.
It was an honest conversation that I had to have with myself and also the person that had sorted me out with the opportunity. And it was work. I mean, I'm happy to share, it was working for Manchester City, City Football Group, and it would have been doing a role with them. And what amazing, like I said, to working with one of the biggest football clubs in the world, the opportunities that kind of they could have brought to my life. And I'm sure if I would have taken that role to work with a brand like that, I'm sure I would have been able to do something like unbelievably special. But there was this idea that I'd been working on, and I knew that if I don't do this now, I'll never do it. And I just knew that if I don't do this now, I'll never do it. I literally kind of, it was that moment where you think to yourself, how many people put stuff off, and how many people say this line when in 20 years' time, in 30 years' time, when they've kind of like I said, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, whatever they are, and they say that line like, I wish I did that, or I wish I could have done that, or I wish I experienced that, or I wish I tried that. And I thought to myself, you know what? I don't want to be in that position. And that was it. That was it. And started with this idea or a piece of paper. And my aim was, how can I turn that into a reality? And I knew for a fact, that was another thing. I knew for a fact, no one will ever be as passionate about an idea that you have as you. I knew that. Like, you can pass on your enthusiasm, but no one will care for it as much as you. And that was played a big part in it as well. And I thought, you know what? If it doesn't work out, then if that opportunity is there, I'll go to it. If it's not there, I'll find something else. But I've got to give this a go, and like I said, best decision I ever made.
The man that turned down Man City. I love that, and and thank you for being so refreshingly honest and candid about that and the decision making process. These, as you said, these are the sometimes the these aren't everyday decisions, but these are the big ones in life. And as you say, you don't want to be in a position where you didn't want to be a position where I'm going to regret that at some point later on in my life. And what I got from you talking is that you have this such a clear sense of your purpose and your passion, knowing that I'm the one that can do this. I'm the one that can create this impact that I truly want to have. So let's jump into that now. Tell us more about the business and the workshops and the work that you're doing.
Yeah, so it's called Learn with ESS, and even the idea, the hardest thing about the whole idea was I had the idea and everything. It was coming up with a name for it. That was difficult. And like I said, I've done a business degree, I've done a business master's, but you're not taught about stuff like this. You're really not. And like I said, so even coming up with an idea for what I wanted to do is a big thing. So I remember saying, I've got this idea, and said the name Learn with ESS, and the first question I got back was also, what does the ESS stand for? And I was like, that's it. That's everything. You don't have to, that's where I can start my sales pitch. So it's an instant icebreaker. If I said to someone, oh, my business is called Learn with ESS, first thing they ask is, so what does ESS stand for? And I'm like, happy days, let's go. So ESS stands for Learning with Education, Sport and Speaking. And we use
Yes.
the three elements to help people to change their perceptions on disability, and also not just that, changing how society offers others a helping hand. And it's classroom-based workshops
Yeah.
around concepts like braille, sign language, autism, Alzheimer's, dementia. The sport element is where we the main draw, and it's where we put people into the shoes of someone who can't see, hear, talk, or walk, and we use things like blindfolds, ear defenders, wheelchairs, whilst tying that into team building activities, team away day activities, and sport, Paralympic sports. And that's when people get that full experience. And then the speaking, which is where we try and give people stories and an opportunity to hear from a local role model who's overcome challenges or barriers. And that thing around kind of learning, feeling, listening. Is a big thing for me, and we use them three elements as ways to for people to experience what life is like for someone with a challenge. So hopefully they can better develop skills such as empathy, gratitude, communication, listening, awareness, orientation, all these important life skills. And that's what I genuinely believe, we leave a life-lasting impact. And just this week we started delivering these workshops, piloting them in 2021. And the two of our first clients that we worked with just got back in touch with me 3 years on to say, would love to have you back. And that's an amazing that even just that. And like I said, it started as an idea, and now over the last 2 years we've worked with over 200 schools across the country. We've partnered with the Premier League, the English Football League. We've partnered with the National Citizenship Service. We've been very lucky to work with brands like Nike, Santander. We're very, very fortunate to, well, even that's a story in itself, but we partnered up with FIFA and worked in Qatar at the 2022 World Cup, which was a surreal experience. Something that, again, like
Wow.
what it was just I remember, just before lockdown, I was sat in Qatar. Whilst at a stopover in the airport, and they were getting ready for the FIFA World Cup, which was going to be happening in 2 years' time. And I sat there and I said, you know what, I'd love to come to the World Cup, but I want to come here and get paid. And that was just, again, learning less was it even, I was still at uni, but none of this was even anything. And I just sat there and I was like, I'd love to come to the World Cup, but I'd love it if I get paid to be there. And two and a half
Amazing.
years later, we made that happen. So, do you know what I mean? So it was just, again, just turning these ideas into realities. And now the work that we do is spreading. The biggest contract we have now is with a bakery. Never thought I'd be ever saying that, but it's with a pasty shop in Bolton, called Carr's Pasties, and we're working with 140 members of their staff over a period of 2 years. to change the way that they help customers that come into their stores. And that's opened
Wow.
up a new world to working with the likes of, hopefully the likes of prisons, train stations, hotels. We're in conversation with a massive hotel chain at the minute to try and see how we can really do some powerful, impactful work for them and their staff so they can better support their guests. And what started as a little idea is now kind of like spreading across the country, working. We totted up over 2 years. We worked with 15,000 people, and the people that are the staff that are delivering these programs now are amazing. And I've got a team around me of good, like-minded individuals who also want to make a change. And it's for me to, show them that if you can work, you can, earn, but you can also like love what you do, and you can be so
Yeah.
passionate about it. And you can go to work and it not feel like work, and that's what I get to do. And I want other people to feel that as well. So, for me now to be giving other people that opportunity is an amazing feeling.
Wow. I'm just getting the joyful energy that is pouring through the Zoom link to me from you. I'm sure to all the listeners about it. Just that, as I said, that passion and purpose that's very, very clear. And this impact you're having, you mentioned the numbers of people that have been through programs. And I'm also really minded just to what you said there about people that you're now employing and creating opportunity for. Am I right in saying are a lot of the people who work with you, for you, they have levels of disability themselves?
And that was a big thing for me, and
Yeah.
it was a big thing around that. Like, I can only speak about my perspective from a visually impaired point of view, but I want to bring people in that can speak from their perspective. So, we
Right.
have people with autism, we have people with hearing impairments, we have people with physical impairments, we have people, and it's not just kind of like I said, people that were mainstream, fully able and acquired a disability, or we have parents, parents of young people with children with disabilities or carers, which it's a plethora of different outlooks, because again, I can only speak about one perspective
Yeah.
from my lived experience. But I want to give to really make it authentic, I want to give other people wider perspective from other angles, from other stories, from other people's experiences, from other people's lives in their shoes. So that's very important for me, and not just with disabilities and challenges. My work has allowed me now, like I said, it's not just even a disability, it's a challenge, and challenges come across in people's lives in lots and lots of different ways: mental health, financial, economic, social challenges, health
Yes.
challenges, like lots and lots of different ways. And a disability is just one form of a challenge. But I get, one day I'm like I said, there's two sides to it. One day we're working with a care home, the next day we're working in a prison, the next day we're working with a football club, the next day we're working in a bakery, the next day we're working in a school. But then the flip side of that is, one day I'm meeting someone who can't walk, or someone who can't talk, or someone who can't see, or someone who can't hear. And that's developed into, like, me working with people who are refugees, talking about their stories, people who are come from like BAME backgrounds around breaking stereotypes, people who left school with no GCSEs that are building, businesses. Like, it's like I said, it's wider than just that, and that's what I love most about my work. I'm not restricted, I'm not limited to
Yeah.
anything, and as long as we're having impact, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, and I go back to, a phrase you used earlier about leveling the playing field. And I really get that sense from everything that you're talking about, everything that you're doing, everything you're committed to is to do that. And I also, before we spoke, doing a bit of research, I saw your TEDx Brighton talk, and I loved your intro. Because you talked about, if I get this right, you talked about is it can't seeness that you see in me or can't do-ness that you see in me? And you'll explain it better
Absolutely.
than me, but I thought it was a really great way of almost issuing a challenge to the people in the audience who are watching about their perceptions of you as a visually impaired man on stage.
No, absolutely. I mean, like I said, if I walk into a room and I've got a long white cane, what's the first thing people look at? Is it the cane or is it you? The people that I work with who are in like an electric wheelchair, is it the first thing that people look at? Is it their chair or is it them? First people, the people that I work with who've got cochlear implants or hearing aids, is it a cochlear implant that they look at first or is it them? And for me, that's the change that we want to make. And if society instead looks at that and think, oh, it's just that person, it's just Azeem. It's not Azeem who's blind, who's got his cane, or it's not X person who's in a wheelchair, or X person who's got a hearing aid, who's deaf or who's hearing impaired. It's just them as a person, and they're gonna treat them like a person. They're not gonna, prejudge them, or they're not gonna be afraid of like saying something that's not right, or they're not gonna, they're gonna be conscious about things that they can do around accessibility, or just the way they talk to them, or the way that they, treat them. That's then, do you know what? That's something that's super, super powerful. And I still believe that we're kind of we're getting there, but there's still a long, long, long way to go. Like there really is. And there's been like in society, there's been movements about LGBT, there's been movements about Black Lives Matter, there's been movements about Be Kind, but there's never really been a movement around disability. And like if we can change that, if we can start a social change that in 10 years' time, the people that we've worked with or the people that we've impacted or touched or that have experienced some of the work that we do, whether it be a corporate environment or whether it be in a school or a university or a football club, and they just think a little bit differently, and they don't judge, or they're a bit more empathetic, or they're a bit more they've got a bit more change of perspective, or they're a better communicator, or they're a better listener, or they're more open to asking questions so they can learn, then it's definitely worth doing what we're doing.
Absolutely. I just get this real sense of this is such humanity in action because what you're asking there is see the person, whatever the situation, see the person, and that's all we can ask for and strive to. And I really get this, as I said, this your energy that of what you want to strive for. So how can people get involved, Azeem? How can people either support or get to understand some of the work you're doing, in their business, in their school, in their community? What's the best start point for them?
I think that the biggest thing that I've learned is like, let's have a conversation. There's never harm in ever having a conversation. And that's so, so important. And, I go into conversations with no expectations whatsoever. But for the people who buy in, they care about, they're passionate about it, or they want to learn, or they want to try, or they send that first message to say like I'd love to see how we can see what we can do together, or is there can you tell me a little bit more, or I've got a couple of questions, and that's it. Even if we can start there, then we can have a look at, can we create like a team away day, or can we do some talks for you guys, or can we integrate some of the work that we're doing around kind of skills development or CPD or a course, or just kind of connecting. And like I said, like there's no harm in having a conversation. So I think that's the biggest thing that we're on. And I feel like you naturally, like we spoke about this a little bit earlier on, but energies, you naturally attract with people that are on the similar wavelength to you. And if I can pass on my enthusiasm to someone listening or to someone that I speak to, I don't have to say to them like, could you do this for me? Could you do this for me? Because they automatically want to do it. They want to do it. They're like, I want to help you. I'm going to go away and I'm going to see what I can do, or I'm going to go away and have a conversation for you because you've passed on your enthusiasm to me, and I'm going to advocate that. And that's what I do.
Love it. I love that. I mean, this in this conversation, there's a huge amount for people to take away, but that right there that you said is so important in terms of that positive mindset, that positive energy that you can bring in. And of course, people are going to want to help, give people the opportunity. And I really believe they will. Wow. Azeem, this has been amazing. I just wanted to very, very quickly, just because I'm very conscious of your time, just touch at the end. So what is, dare I say, what is next? What's coming for you? Maybe on the football front, because we talked about the disappointment of Paris 24. What's next there?
So we're in a transition phase at the minute, where we're kind of integrating some the new players from the cycle into our team. So I think it's just kind of, like I said, building blocks, strong foundations over 2024. And then that will hopefully help for us to kind of, like I said, compete and strive at our next European Championships, which is our next kind of big tournament. And for me, it's to be able to be an integral part and an influential part of the team's success on the pitch and off the pitch. So that's, yeah, so like football, like I said, it's just plugging away, continuously getting better. Consistency is very important. And again, process over outcome.
Yeah, what a great reminder right at the end to enjoy the process, and obviously not obsess so much about the outcome. I think we can all take an awful lot away from that for all our mojos, frankly. So, Azeem, Amir, it's been an amazing conversation. I really, really appreciate you sharing your story and the time that you shared with the Mojo podcast today.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
I personally got so much from that conversation, so thank you, Azeem. I think we all have to ask ourselves about our own biases around disability. As Azeem asked that TEDx audience, if you saw Azeem walking down the street, what would you see, honestly? A can't see-ness or a can't do-ness? His call, his demand, we see the person, not the barrier or the disability, is timely and really important. And with his positive mindset, talent and commitment, it's easy to imagine him succeeding in anything he puts his mind to. So thanks again, Azeem. And you can find out how to get in touch with him in the show notes of this episode. Also, a big thanks to the Athlete Media Group for organizing this chat. Mojo and AMG have created a strategic partnership to bring more amazing and inspirational talent like Azeem to your workplace. So please do get in touch if you'd like to find out more about that. And hit the rate and review button when this episode ends, and please do share widely. I'll be back in 2 weeks with another amazing guest. And until then, I hope your mojo continues to flow.